What's up, everyone? Welcome back to Dropping Dimes. This is the Weekly Dime, the show where we round up the most recent happenings in the world of basketball. I'm your host, Rodrigo, but you can call me Rod, and I'm joined by the man who only roots for teams that wear black and red, Rafael. How are you doing, man?
That's correct. You see that there's a pattern to my passion here. São Paulo, Portland Trail Blazers. Now I just need to find a hockey team. Maybe the New Jersey Devils?
Ottawa. To keep it Canadian, the Ottawa Senators, they wear red and black.
But they also have gold, right?
The Devils have white. Well, I guess the other teams also do, yeah.
Yeah. But anyways, I'm not planning to choose a hockey team in the near future. So let's think about that whenever it becomes an issue.
You didn't get excited because the Canucks made it to the second round?
No.
Yeah, me neither.
Okay. Good to know. We agree on something.
Yeah, we still don't follow hockey as much as we should, probably.
Yeah. And I wanna say sorry to our loyal fans, because we've been away for a while. And I think we've been away because at first we were going to record and then the Trailblazers ended up defeating the Lakers, and then Rodrigo was too depressed to record. And then the Trailblazers started losing to the Lakers, and then I was
disappointed. I'm disappointed we didn't do more with that rivalry, to be honest.
But it's tough because...
Also, I called it, and you can see my Instagram, I said Lakers in five. I never thought we could sweep the Blazers. Never, ever. I wasn't sad. I was upset because that first game, it was the same thing that happened against the Rockets. I guess we're already starting here. The Lakers were just flat, and it felt like they were like, we're just going to take this game off and figure things out.
But every year I fall for the same freaking move from the Trailblazers. The whole year I'm saying I'm not going to get excited this year because I know how this is going to end. There's no point in getting excited. And then eventually I feel like, okay, maybe this year is for real. I should get excited. And then as soon as I get excited, they remind me that I shouldn't get excited.
I don't want to be mean, but honestly, I was laughing at everyone that said that the Blazers were going to beat the Lakers. And, you know, putting our rivalry aside as friends, you know, I just didn't see it happening, right? I mean, yes, the Lakers were inconsistent in the bubble, but they have a better team. And it would have required Damian Lillard to score 60 points a night, CJ McCollum to also have like a 20, 30-point night, and even Carmelo to contribute like 15, 20 points a night.
Yeah, when you guys signed J.R. Smith, I thought we had a chance.
But we don't even need him. That's the point. When you have playoff LeBron and play on AD activated, there's little that you can do. And, you know, it's been proven that when these guys are on, especially LeBron, when he's aggressive and the rest of the team follows, it's very hard to beat the Lakers.
Yeah, Grandpa Bron.
Hey, man, the things that he's doing at his age, we're younger than LeBron, and we're at a 46th of his capacity.
You know who LeBron looks like nowadays? You remember Kimbo Slice?
I do remember Kimbo Slice, yeah.
Yeah, he looks like Kimbo Slice now. And when he records Instagram videos wearing that toque thing on his hair, he looks exactly like Kimbo Slice.
When he was right before the bubble, he had a bushier beard and it was more... Because he dyed it, you know, it looks darker or starting to wear out, but it looked darker when he came back to the bubble or went back to action. But when we had that salt and pepper beard, he definitely looked like Kimbo Slice. Because I don't know if he shaved or what he said, but yeah, that was Kimbo Slice, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, do you want to just keep talking about the Lakers and the Rockets? I mean, we're already talking about LeBron and the Lakers. So, yes, the Lakers moved on from beating the Blazers, and the Rockets beat the Oklahoma City Thunder in a very exciting series, to be honest. I'm sure everyone has already reviewed what happened with the OKC on that last possession, but Game 3 happened yesterday. Lakers are up 2-1 in the series. It's been a very good series, to be honest. Except for the first game, the last quarter when the Lakers sort of gave up. But games two and games three have been very competitive, both for the Lakers and the Rockets. Very different styles. And if you like basketball, this is, you know, sort of a good series to catch because of the conflicting styles. And it's sort of like more modern basketball with the Rockets and more quote-unquote traditional basketball with the Lakers. But what do you think, Ref?
Yeah, I thought it was a fun game. I think that Rondo was a very important part of what you guys achieved yesterday. So the game was yesterday, by the way. We're recording this on Wednesday, right?
Yes, but it's going to go live tomorrow on Thursday. So yeah, it's still relevant.
But yeah, I think that Rondo impressed me. He always when it comes to playoffs, he always bring it on. So I can't say that I was like very, very surprised because I always expect a good performance from him when it comes to playoffs. But I like how he controls the tempo. It's almost like he makes the Lakers play like a team from a different era. You know, we're so used to this current style of basketball that every team wants to run the floor as much as possible. And then you see a guy like Rondo that he, you know, takes his time, call the plays, gets everybody involved. So it's fun to watch.
It's kind of strange because even amongst Laker Nation, Rondo was catching a lot of heat because of his minutes in first one of this series against the Rockets. I watched that game and he was not good. I mean, granted, he's coming back from an injury. He's getting used to the bubble environment. That was his first game back. I wasn't very happy with him, but after seeing what he did in game two and game three, it seems like, you know, he's sort of that floor general when LeBron is resting, or even when you have LeBron on the court, that takes pressure away from him from having to create and can focus on scoring, which is what we need against the Rockets. Because the Rockets, I mean, you're not going to take away their three-pointers. James Harden is always going to have a good game. He's going to score 20, 30 more points. So you need someone else. You need LeBron to be available to just worry about scoring.
Yeah, that's right. But I also think that the series is far from over. I think the Rockets have been playing well. So I don't know if we can say that there is a favorite. Like, I think
Agreed 100%. This is, I think, the toughest series the Lakers might have, just because of the style that is way different from how the Lakers are used to playing, and they've been trying to figure things out on the go. Well, I mean, all the teams have had to do that, but this is just so different from how they're used to playing. And it's just that the Rockets are also different. They're built different. I keep thinking of PJ Tucker guarding AD, and you know, on a regular basis, we all think that AD might have the advantage, but PJ Tucker has stuck his ground there.
I'm looking for the finals because, to be honest, whoever comes out from the East, I think it's going to be a strong team. Even though they might not have the same names that the Lakers have or that the Rockets have. I think that the Raptors are a hardworking team. They already proved proved so many times that they can compete. The Celtics are a very talented team. And then you have the Miami Heat. I mean, they've been really, really working hard as a group, playing together. And I've enjoyed watching them play, to be honest. I don't like their coach. I never did. But I enjoy watching them play.
Let's talk about the Heat and the Bucks, or the Bucks now that they are eliminated. So yesterday as Tuesday, the Miami Heat eliminated the Bucks in five games. And Giannis didn't play in game five. He tweaked his ankle and apparently he wanted to play, but he just couldn't put a lot of weight on that ankle. So the doctors told him it was not a good idea and probably the safest option. But Miami has been so much fun. And like you mentioned, they're a really interesting group. A lot of their players are either rookies or undrafted players, which makes it very interesting. They're playing with a lot of heart, a lot of hustle, and they rally behind Jimmy Butler, who for the past, 4 years, he's been labeled as not a great locker room guy, as an explosive person, and he's been sort of outcasted by teams, and he seems to fit right in with Miami and the culture there.
Yeah, and to be honest, if I'm not mistaken, Jimmy Butler was drafted like 18th or 19th or something like that. So he's also like an underdog. I don't remember exactly what was his position on the draft, but he was not a top 3 or top 5 pick, I'm pretty sure.
He's proven himself, I feel, especially in Chicago. Yeah. But what I find interesting is that, you know, he left Chicago in bad terms. Then he went to the Timberwolves, also left in bad terms. He left Philadelphia and said that, you know, there were a lot of things that he would one day disclose why he left, but it didn't seem like him and the organization were in great terms. It seems like other players like Joel Embiid might have liked him, or at least that's what appears on Twitter. But now in Miami, it seems like, you know, he's the alpha dog, and it sort of fits in with Pat Riley's style, because Pat Riley's teams, or, you know, even though he's the owner, but I'm sure he has a lot of say on the court, you know, they have a lot of grit, a lot of grind, a lot of hustle. And Spoelstra, even though you said he's not one of your favorite coaches, he's been doing an awesome job with that team, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, Jimmy Butler is a hardworking guy. He wants to win so bad that sometimes he comes across too strong, I think. Yeah. Especially with this new generation of not only, I was going to say basketball players, but I think it's not only the basketball players. I think it's the new generation in general. Like,
well, I don't know, because, you know, a lot of the players in Miami are young. They're a young team, but, you know, and they don't seem to have a problem, right?
Yeah, that's because it's the culture of that team, right?
But also, Joel Embiid, I mean, seems like they got along. Joel Embiid has been rooting for Miami on Twitter, or not for Miami, for Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, because if it wasn't for the culture of the Miami Heat, that it's very well established by Pat Riley, and it's been that the same culture for a long, long time, yeah, I think maybe he wouldn't have managed to fit so well and so quickly.
Yeah, no, it's going to be definitely interesting to see the Miami Heat against either the Celtics or the Raptors, which, by the way, we're just killing time to see who moves on to the finals, or if there's going to be a game 7 between the Raptors and the Celtics. But I think, you know, Jimmy Butler find the team that was right for him. The Heat found the leader that they needed, and everything just fell into place. Dragic has been very important. He doesn't have to be that primary offensive guy, but he can contribute, and while setting the entire play. Tyler Hero, I mean, he's a rookie, but he conducts himself in a way like he's a veteran. And in this playoff especially, he reminds me of Donovan Mitchell in his first playoffs with the Jazz. He's like very cool, very, what I'm trying to say, in control of what he's doing and not afraid of the moment.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if you think of Tyler Hero and if you think of Goran Dragic and all these guys, Dragic is one of these cases. He's so talented, but I feel like he never managed to, you know, overcome the fact that he was always supposed to be the next Steve Nash. Everyone always thought of him as the next Steve Nash, and it's not fair to him. That's too much weight to carry on your shoulders, right? So it took him such a long time to be able to find his own path. And it's almost like people had to forget about him for a while so that he could become the player that he had to become, instead of trying to become the next Steve Nash.
So it seems that you and I are really liking the Miami Heat and how they're playing. So, and I'm sure a lot of people are finding them fun to watch at the very least. But what about the Bucks? Should we be disappointed? Is it, you know, expected that they were eliminated in the second round of the playoffs? Giannis has come out and said that he's going to stick around in Milwaukee. But what do you think?
I like the fact that he's thinking about staying. he should try to be different than the other superstars from this from our time or from this generation. He should try to stay there. He should try to be like Kevin Garnett and stay for a long time. And then, okay, if you're about to retire and you want to get a ring, just do it like Kevin Garnett and Karl Malone try to go to the Lakers and other guys have done it. That's fine. But try to spend most of your career in the same team. I think that that's what we need at this point. Just want to do something different.
With the exception of probably Garnett, and I'm sure a lot of other players, but you know, you mentioned Karl Malone, and these players had gone to the finals already, and they were close. They were a very competitive team. I'm not saying the Bucks are not, but I think everyone should be disappointed that they didn't even reach the conference finals.
But they had the best regular season record.
They were the best team defensively. They had the best record. They have the, you know, I think Giannis will get the MVP. It's just a matter of time. But, you know, it's disappointing that the Bucks couldn't get it done. I mean, when Malcolm Brogdon was sent to Indiana or didn't resign with Milwaukee, it was because the team didn't want to pay the tax on Brogdon. And they bring in, but they decided to keep Eric Bledsoe. I mean, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me. And if I'm Giannis, I mean, I would demand for a lot of changes. And if not changes, at least to see something from the team so that they can further compete. Otherwise, you know, it's going to be a wasted year for Giannis. And then he's going to leave and the Bucks are not going to get anything because he'll be a free agent.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's as bad as you're trying to paint it. I mean, I understand where you're
I'm not trying to paint it bad. If you're the number one team and you get eliminated in the second round, isn't that a disappointing season?
It is a disappointing season, but it's not easy to make it to the finals anyways. Like, we have so many examples of teams that tried for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, and they were not able to make it to the finals. So I don't think they should be that disappointed. I understand, but he's a young superstar. He's still going to have a lot of opportunities. I think that he can still spend another 5 years, 4 years there. I don't see why he shouldn't try to do the same thing that Damian Lillard is doing with the Trail Blazers.
Yeah, but the Blazers had that, at least the backcourt core between McCollum and Lillard. And I personally haven't been a huge fan of Chris Middleton. I don't know if he's a good complement to Giannis. I think they have to aim a little bit higher than that or get a third offensive option that is really, really good.
Okay, but if I didn't know that they had the best record, I would feel like you're talking about a team that just made it to the playoffs. I don't think they have that much to improve. They had the best record overall. They had the best defense. I mean, things happen in a way that they end up losing in the playoffs. But I don't know if they were such a disaster.
I'm not saying they were a disaster throughout the season. I'm saying this playoffs against the Heat, against a team that is basically made out of almost scraps and a lot of young players and a lot of undrafted players. I mean, being the number one team, this should have been a favorable matchup against them. Right? A lot more favorable than the Raptors-Celtics series. That's a lot closer. And both teams are really good. They've both been in the playoffs, but the Heat, it's, you know, this core is new to the playoffs. And the Bucks went out last year against the Raptors in the conference finals. So you're supposed to build on that, not regress from it, right?
Yeah. But who do you think is coming out from the East? Who do you think is going to make it to the finals?
I don't know. Had you asked me yesterday, I would have said the Celtics. But I feel like the Celtics are similar to the Lakers and the Clippers, in which, you know, they take some days off sometimes. So if the Raptors beat the Celtics, then I'll say the Raptors. But if not, I think I'm going to go with the Heat. I'm on the Heat train for the East.
I'm trying to think. I feel like I want to go with the Raptors, but I think that I agree with you. I believe that the Heat, because of the momentum, I think that they might make it to the finals.
If you're the Miami Heat and you eliminated the number one team, you know, with the best record, with the best defense, you're feeling pretty good about yourself. Bam Adebayo, we forgot to mention him, but he's having an amazing playoffs run. And it doesn't matter if it's Celtics or Raptors, either team. I mean, I would be feeling pretty good if I'm the Heat. And, you know, if there's a game seven, even better, you get to rest a little bit more.
Yeah. I can't wait for the finals.
It's going to be very exciting, yeah.
I feel like, of course, I would rather have a regular season without the whole COVID-19 situation and without the bubble. But I feel like this has been fun. The games have been very, very competitive. The playoffs have been, like, they have been very good. And as far as, like, watching the games, I have really, really enjoyed that so far.
Definitely, the bubble has brought a different element in which, you know, home court advantage disappeared, obviously, which in a way is fun, in a way it's not, but we've seen some pretty good basketball. I think right now exhaustion is starting to hit all the players, because during a regular playoffs run, you have a couple of days off in between games, you know, to travel and all that, so there's that option, but right now it's just you only get a day off. So it's starting to feel like some teams are playing a little bit sluggish, especially the series that are going a little bit longer. So like the Raptors-Celtics series, the games have been a little bit weird at the beginning, at the end, you know, and teams are having a hard time trying to find a rhythm. But it's been fun. I mean, the entire script was thrown out of the window in the bubble.
So, Rodrigo, I just want to go back a couple of minutes, because I think you mentioned a couple of minutes ago that there's going to be a game seven between the Raptors and the Celtics. Did you mention that?
No, I said we're waiting to see if going to have a game seven.
Because I was going to say they're still playing. So
I know. I have it right here on the other window. It's not that I'm not paying attention to it, it's just that something exciting happens and I see bodies on the floor. It's Marcus Smart versus Kyle Lowry. So there's a lot of flopping, a lot of hitting the court. So, I mean,
because I thought you said there's going to be a game seven between the Raptors and the Celtics. So if you get it wrong, we're gonna have to record this whole freaking episode again.
No. Raptors are up by 4, 98-94, and there's 2:45 left in the game. So we'll see. I'm not gonna call it. No, I would never do that. I have journalistic integrity, man.
Yeah, no, we should do a live, not live, but a broadcast. And then when our listeners download the podcast, they will feel like they're listening to the last 2 minutes of the game.
We should go live on Instagram and watch at least the last quarter of each game. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter. You get it. You know, we both love basketball, so we get excited. So we should both jump on Instagram, you know, divide the screen and just watch the fourth quarter and see what happens.
Do an Instagram live?
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Let's do that. That's a good idea.
All right.
Thinking about ideas and bets and things that we talked about in the past, I just want to mention it here since we...
Is this becoming a brainstorming session?
No, it's been a while. Playoffs. It's been a while since we recorded, so I just want to say that I'm very disappointed at the Trail Blazers, but at the same time, I'm happy that I didn't have to buy a Carmelo Anthony jersey, so...
I mean, to be honest, and I'm sorry, I misunderstood. I thought you said if they made the playoffs, but you said conference finals. That was unrealistic. I should have pushed you to, at the very least, second round, because that was unrealistic.
Yeah, you try to convince me that I said if they made the playoffs, because you know that I don't listen to the episode, so you know that I would have to...
No, but I made it the teaser of the episode, and it was very obvious. So that's on me. I should have pushed you a little bit more.
Yeah. Maybe next year, but it's not going to be this time that I'm going to buy a Carmelo Anthony jersey.
Let's talk about the Clippers and the Nuggets. That one's a little bit weird, in my opinion, because the first game, it was a blowout. The Clippers just dominated the Nuggets. everyone had a really good game, and the Nuggets didn't show up. They were tired from playing their game seven and against the Jazz, and it just, they were not there. Then the second game comes in, and now it's the Nuggets that sort of find their way, and they dominated for at least a very good part of the game. They shut down Kawhi, and they did a really good job defensively, which, and the Clippers struggled a lot on the offense. Game three, very competitive. It was going back and forth. In the end, the Clippers take it. But today, after the Raptors game, they're playing game four. What do you think of this series?
To be honest, out of all of the series that are being played right now, I think that Clippers and Nuggets are the one that I'm having a hard time getting excited about the games and stopping to watch the game. I don't know if it's because I feel like their games are too, and I think it's more related to the Clippers than to the Nuggets. I feel like every time the Clippers are playing, it becomes like a scrappy game, you know? They have a lot of heart, but it's not something that you enjoy watching unless you're a Clippers fan.
Any Clippers fans? I don't. Shout out to the three people that cheer for the Clippers out there.
Yeah.
Not the bandwagon fans, real Clippers fans. It's Clipper Daryl, his family probably. So there's, you know, probably five of them at the very least.
Yeah. So I don't know. That one is a hard one for me to watch, even though I know that Murray has been playing well this playoffs.
He's been playing out of his damn mind.
He's been amazing. I'm still a little bit hurt because you know that I'm a huge Donovan Mitchell fan. So I feel like I'm kind of still trying to get over the fact that they eliminated the Jazz. So,
and let's not forget that they came back from a 3-1 deficit.
Yeah.
So kudos to the Nuggets. I don't know. I don't think the Nuggets have what it takes to beat the Clippers. If they do, I mean, it's all going to be, you know, because Jamal Murray and Jokic are going to have amazing games, but I doubt it. I mean, I don't know how to feel about Jokic. I like him. I would tell me if you wouldn't like that, but wouldn't you like to have a beer with Jokic?
Have a beer with Jokic?
Yeah.
Of course. Yeah.
And see what he has to say. I mean, his quote from the other day, someone asked him if, you know, where does he find the patience to move around the ball and all that during offense? And he said, well, I can't run very fast, so patience, I got to be patient.
Did you see the picture that they uploaded the other day? I don't remember which account it was, but they uploaded a picture of all of the Balkan boys having a beer or having dinner together.
Yeah. Having dinner, yeah.
Yeah. So they all look like, there's at least three guys out of that group that look like gentle giants.
I would love to have a drink with Jokic and just say, like, you know, what do you think of the NBA? How is it being a professional basketball player? Because I feel like I would get a very honest and funny answer. He'd probably say, like, yeah, it's sweet, man. Free shoes. I don't know. And I can see myself getting a little bit drunk with him. I don't know why.
Yeah, with Jokic, Marjanovic, Nurkic.
Oh, if we're inviting Boban to this dinner or drinks or whatever, man, my day is done. Have you seen the stuff that he uploads? I love Boban.
Yeah, yeah. He makes up for the lack of minutes on the floor. He makes up for his social media accounts.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I love Boban Marjanovic. But let's talk about staying on the Clippers and the Nuggets. Patrick Beverley dissed both Nikola Jokic and Luka Doncic. He said that Jokic plays very similar to Luka, and he said there's a lot of flailing, and that puts the refs in a position where they have to make a call. Do you agree with Patrick Beverley that Jokic and Luka are big time floppers, basically?
I think he talks too much. Here's a guy that he doesn't understand that he's just a role player and he should just stick to his role and play his game and stop talking so much.
Yeah, I mean, I don't have a lot of love for Patrick Beverley, to be honest. As a Lakers fan and just overall, I mean, he does his job. He gets under your skin and he gets very annoying. that's his job. I get it. But gosh, like this last part, he insulted my adopted son, Luka Doncic, and that's unacceptable. Patrick Beverley, you flop as well. So take that back and apologize to Luka. Keep talking trash about Jokic. I don't mind.
But yeah, he's one of these players that I don't know, I have mixed feelings about. There are some players that are annoying and I like them. For example, Reggie Miller is one of my favorite players ever, and he was a very annoying player as well.
Oh, but he could walk the talk, you know. He had his mouth where his money was. He had his money where his mouth was, sorry. And I just, you know, when was the last time that we heard like, oh my God, Patrick Beverley, not only did he play great defense, he scored 25 points or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Also, I thought I was going to be able to break the news, but seems like I don't know if we're going to have time. The Raptors and the Celtics are going to overtime.
What?
The last 10 seconds lasted an eternity, and Pascal Siakam had the very last shot, and it was very close, let me tell you. It was very, very close. There's a bit of an arguable call against the Celtics, the Celtics that should have been free throws, but they weren't. Anyways, they're heading to overtime.
Should we finish the episode here before overtime starts and we each pick, we make our picks and then we see if we get it right?
Ah, I like that. Okay.
Let's count to three and then we say the name of the team, okay?
Okay.
The name of the team that is going to win.
When do you ever pick the team that is going to lose?
I don't know. I'm just clarifying.
Okay. Ready?
One, two, three.
Raptors.
That didn't work. I said it first.
No, so we both have the Raptors. That's fine. That's fine.
I said Celtics.
Oh, you said Celtics. Okay. I heard Raptors.
Yeah, I said Celtics.
Okay. So you go for the Celtics, I'll go for the Raptors, and then we'll find out tomorrow. Or not tomorrow, sorry. In like 20 minutes.
We need to have a recording of a countdown, so we don't need to count. We just play the countdown, and then when the countdown is over, we say whatever we want to say.
You make it sound like I have, like I don't sleep editing these videos, and I do like.
You don't have a soundboard? What's wrong with you? What the heck?
I told you we should invest in one, but honestly, they're pretty expensive.
What happened to all that budget that we were talking about last week?
Do you think this is for free? Do you think that you don't get paid to do this?
If anyone out there wants to donate a soundboard,
we'll figure it out. I might have a buzzer sound here and there.
Or even a pizza. we'll take that as well. Just send us a pizza so we can eat pizza while we record the podcast.
In any case, sir, in case you were reminiscing about the very first days of Dropping Dimes, we're back to begging for stuff.
When did courtesy of Raph.
Huh?
When did we stop?
That's a good point, yeah. All right. Well, seems like we're going to have to wait to find out the winner between the Raptors and the Celtics. Who do you have winning it all, Raph?
That's a tough question. So I said the Celtics are going to win. So I think the Celtics are going to win it all.
The Celtics?
I'm just trying to go with the pick that I just made a couple of minutes ago. So
you're committing to just to the pick that you made for one game?
Yeah, because if you think about the Celtics playing against the Heat.
Yeah.
I think I just said earlier this episode.
I was going to say, didn't you say like it doesn't matter who comes out? The Heat has the momentum?
The Heat has the momentum. So, yes. I don't know. To be honest, I'm not sure. I cannot make up my mind right now. I think that...
Oh, come on. Just pick a team. The Celtics.
No. I don't want to go with the Lakers because that's like the obvious pick because LeBron is there. So everyone is going to pick the Lakers just because LeBron is there.
I don't know if it's the obvious pick. I mean, the Clippers are... I feel like right now Clippers or Lakers might be the obvious team, but I don't think the Lakers are, you know, that much ahead, if at all, when it comes against the Clippers.
So I think that the Clippers are going to win it all. Just whatever. I'm just going to say a name here.
you're trying to push my buttons. That's all.
Yeah, it's not. I'm never gonna pick the Lakers because LeBron is there. It's not even that I have something against the Lakers. It's just that when it comes to when it comes to the playoffs, I'm never gonna support the team that LeBron is playing for.
That's weak. You're on the wrong side of history.
That's like being a bandwagon fan.
Which, I mean, okay, I respect your decision.
It's almost like when you're watching March Madness and you, instead of picking the underdog, you pick the team that has the best record.
I mean, when it's, you know, Duke against Western, Northern, Eastern, Central, Washington State, then yeah, you might go with Duke, right? It's fun to see the underdog winning at March Madness, but
how can the university be called Eastern, Western, Central, South at the same time? Do they have campuses all over the state, or?
I thought you were gonna understand that it was a joke and a made up name, especially given that we both work in education and we sort of know that wouldn't really fly.
Yeah, they have satellite campus all over the place.
Sure, main campus is in the center of the state, and then they have satellite campuses in each direction, east, west, north, and south.
Okay.
Depends what you're studying, you have to go to each campus. That sounds a lot like our university experience, actually. A little bit.
I think it's more your experience, because you had classes all over the place, right? Two campuses.
That's true. Shout out to our alma mater, SFU, and all the, I think there's 7 now in total. I can't remember.
6.
Thank you. Yeah, 6. Sure.
I think I'm right. I'm not sure though.
This is not an education podcast though. So
yes,
that's it.
This is not an education podcast. Let's stop trying to educate people. Let's just make jokes and have fun and no educational material at all.
Yeah. You cannot expect to be educated here. And if you do, I am so sorry. I am so sorry on behalf of everyone that has ever come to this podcast. I am so sorry. You're in the wrong place.
If you feel like you're getting educated by us, it means that you have a lot of research to do.
That's true. Yeah. You want to learn more about numbers? Go to another podcast. No, I'm kidding. Stick around.
I feel like we've been extending this episode for 8 minutes already.
A little bit, yeah. I also feel that way. I was hoping that the overtime would be almost done, but there's 3 minutes left, and if we know anything about NBA basketball, is that this 3 minutes will last half an hour, probably.
Yeah, too many commercials.
Boston is up by 1 point with 2 minutes. You know what? Let's just hang in there and see what happens. I mean, there's 2:40 left in overtime. And if we started getting to tons of either fouls or timeouts, then yeah, let's call it a day.
Sounds good.
So
I'm not watching the game, so you need to tell me what's happening.
Right now, Boston is up by 2 points. I have a bunch of people have been texting me, Raptors fans or newly founded Raptors fans, that I find it funny that now that the Raptors obviously won the championship once, they want all the calls. And they feel like the refs are against them. And yeah, but you're against the Celtics, which, you know, Jason Tatum, Jalen Brown have star power now. Kyle Lowry has star power, but, you know, Norman Powell, OG Anunoby, even Pascal, I really like Pascal, but I don't think he gets that star treatment yet.
Yeah, but, I mean, they are the defending champs. They should get... I mean, there should be no special treatment at all, to be honest. They should all be treated the same.
No, I'm not saying this special treatment, but, you know, certain calls go a certain way sometimes. It's not necessarily that it's preferential treatment. I'm saying the refs are fixing the game, but, you know, maybe that, I don't know, that defense or whatever, maybe the arm is a little too close, so you might get the foul. Or that charge, you know, you were still studying 1 foot, but it goes your way. Kyle Lowry gets those, obviously.
So what's happening now?
So right now they're tied 104, and there's 150 left in the game. It's been a really good game because both Brad Stevens and Nick Nurse are really good technical coaches and they make really good adjustments on the go. But I feel like Brad Stevens has a bit of an edge just because of the players that he has. Having said that, the Raptors are still in the game and they've been fighting, and it's either win or go home at this point. So they're really fighting, and kudos to the Raptors, to be honest.
Do you think there's going to be a buzzer beater?
I think so. I mean, at this point, you know, they're just trading baskets. And like I said, exhaustion right now must be reaching to all players, right? And can you imagine? I mean, let's talk about, while we wait for the game to end, about the being in the bubble. These guys have been in the bubble for, what, 60 days now or more? So approximately 2 months. And I don't think this gets talked enough about the mental aspect of being stuck in the same place for 2 months. You travel a lot, so you tend to be in hotels for a while.
Yeah, but not the same hotel. I mean, I'm constantly changing from one hotel to another, right?
Right, but I mean, what I was trying to, the point I was trying to make is like you're away from home for long periods of time, right? And that affects you, right? As a regular person.
Sometimes I'm watching a movie and then we're getting too personal here. But if I've been away from home for too long, I'm watching a movie on an airplane, and it might not even be a very sad movie, but it brings tears to my eyes because I'm too emotional because I've been away from home for too long.
That's a new side. That's a new side of you.
Sometimes I even call my mother.
I'm very proud of you for opening up on the podcast and to our listeners.
Are we still on a basketball podcast here?
Can you imagine being away from home for 2 months and with your colleagues? And, you know, let's assume you love all your colleagues. You really like them, right? But you're also sharing the same space with your rivals, with the people from the other company or that one colleague that you cannot stand. That must be exhausting and frustrating. And I think I would have left the bubble, honestly.
They must be saving a lot of money. 60 days not having to pay for their meals, not having to pay for their accommodation.
That is the thing that you're worried about, that they say they're saving money because they're not paying their own meals. That you're worried about.
Not an NBA player, so that would make a difference for me, right? I know that it doesn't make a difference for them.
That's the one thing that you bring up. Yeah. They're saving money on food.
They're saving a lot of money.
Not the Miami Heat, because Jimmy Butler is charging them because he brought a French press and he's making drinks in his hotel room. He's charging his teammates.
Wow.
You didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that.
There were photos of outside of Jimmy's room, and he has a board with the menu, and he says that he makes espressos and lattes and cafe au lait. And he charges them $4.
He's an entrepreneur. He's making money out of the bubble. More money.
So on top of the savings that he already has, he's going to make a profit.
And on top of his paycheck, on top of the savings, he's still making a profit.
But, you know, going back again to the mental aspect, and there's 20 seconds left, and Toronto's up by 2, but I think Boston is going to the line. So double overtime, maybe. I don't know. But can you imagine being stuck 60 days with the same people and potentially your rivals, even though the NBA is a brotherhood and all that, but, you know, 60 days without leaving and seeing the same people, seeing the same stuff over and over and over again?
Yeah, that sounds a bit boring. Can you share your screen with me? I want to see the last shot.
Sure. There's a foul now. I'm going to share my screen with you. There's a foul. There's 18 minutes left. Can you see now?
It's loading. Yeah.
So there's 18 minutes left. Seconds, sorry. And Boston is going to the line. 106-104 Raptors. Do we want to delight our audience with live commentary?
It's not going to be live because by the time they listen to this...
Yeah, you're right. Sorry. With the commentary of the game? 20 seconds?
Yeah, I think you're probably the best person to do this. I'm not very...
I haven't practiced my broadcasting voice, but here we go. Jaylen Brown sinks the first one. Marc Gasol goes in. Here comes Jaylen Brown with the second one. This is the part where I say some stats about Jaylen Brown that I don't have with me. Tied game, 18 seconds to go, and there's a foul. Hold on. There's a foul. Bodies on the floor. Kyle Lowry and Marcus Smart. What a surprise. Raf?
This is crazy. I don't know what to say here. I need to practice my broadcasting skills. But whatever Rodrigo is saying, it's exactly what's happening right now.
Timeout Toronto. Let's go to our sponsors, guys. Manscaped or anything? No?
This is so sad. Just silence. Crickets.
There's only 18 seconds left. We can do this. And it hasn't even been an hour. And I'm going to take a lot of the last part out of this episode. So we can do this. There's just 18 seconds. So there's I think the call was a foul on Toronto. So Boston will have the last shot with 18 seconds to go. Who, if you were Brad Stevens, do you go for the tie or do you go for the win?
I go for the win. But I just want to mention here that I'm so glad to see that you're going through a legit streaming website.
Why do you have to bring that up? No,
I'm just saying that I'm glad to see that it's a legit streaming.
Okay, let's be real.
I don't know why there's so many pop-up windows open.
I love the NBA. Everyone knows that I love the NBA and its product, but NBA TV, at least here in Canada, it's not working. It's not working. It's all blacked out. I can never watch a game. And yeah, anyways. Oh, it was Toronto Bowl. I was mistaken. Sorry.
Oh, yeah, because Celtics took two free throws, right?
No, but I thought it was a foul on the Celtics. Anyways, it's all tied. I was all wrong. 4 seconds left. 3, 2, Norman Powell for the win. Ah!
Double overtime.
We're going to call it. We're going to call it until here. Thank you for joining us in our horrendous commentary of the first overtime.
And remember, I picked the Celtics, you picked the Raptors.
Yes, so whoever loses has to do 10 push-ups. How's that?
Oh, I think that's going to be challenging, given that we've both been going through quarantine and I've been very...
socially distanced.
Yeah, so...
distant.
We can try.
All right, sounds good.
Okay.
For anyone out there listening to us on Apple Podcasts, please rate us 5 stars and leave a review. Tell us what you love. Tell us if you want to be more educated or not. We'll make it happen. Make sure that you follow us on Instagram, @dropping.dimes, on Twitter, @dropping_dimes1, on Facebook.com/dropping.dimes1, our website, check out www.dropping-dimes.com. If for some reason you want to drop an email, contact@dropping-dimes.com. Anything else, Raf? You can say something before I sign off.
I don't think so. I think we covered everything.
It was a first.
Great. Right. I think you guys are really gonna enjoy it, and I hope you enjoy it.
I'm gonna leave the entire thing to see what happens. All right. This is the Dropping Dimes crew signing off. Peace out.